Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth. I am so happy because I have not seen the whites of this person's eyes for, gosh, a year and a half. Though we have spoken many, many times, we want to welcome to KDWA Mariah Ring. She is the site supervisor for the Leduc Historic Estate in Hastings. What a beautiful place. And gosh, it's so great to see you.
You too.
How have you been?
So good. Just, you know. Doing everything.
Living the dream.
Surviving and thriving.
You got that right. So I found out that we have mutual friends, and that was kind of fun. And you know mutual little people that I know. That was very.
You're
like a rock star to them.
Oh, yes. Which is so sweet.
I know. Yeah. Well, Mariah, we're talking in the month of December, and it's exciting as we're heading towards the holiday season, because I know the Leduc Historic Estate, it just comes alive during the holidays, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. We try. It's a lot of fun because we decorate for the holidays and we try to host different holiday events, and people can rent the house. They can have their holiday parties there. So we've had work parties in the past or holiday gift openings.
Chamber party.
Yes, we're so excited.
Chamber, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. We're hosting the chamber holiday party this year, which is going to be a lot of fun. We're really excited to be able to have them there. So hopefully we're decorating the house. It's about halfway done.
So kind of a feat, when I think about decorating my house for Christmas, I go, I mean, it's a chore, but I can't imagine what it's like to decorate the Leduc. Do you do the outside or no?
We do little bits on the outside. Okay. So people get to enjoy that as they drive by. We are hoping to put the garland up on the front fence again this
year. Oh, yes, that's pretty.
That should be a lot of fun. And then we decorate the inside. And it's funny because I love to do it at work. I love decorating for the holidays anyway, but I love doing it at work. But by the time I'm done with the whole house, I go home and I don't really feel like putting any ornaments on the tree, and I suddenly turn into a Grinch, and then I have to muster up that holiday spirit and decorate at home too. Yeah.
So I know it must take a lot of energy, and you have all sorts of volunteers that help you.
Yeah, we do. This year we're a little limited, which is
because of COVID.
Yeah, because of COVID, and that's totally fine. I had some people who were looking to help volunteer, and then that fell through a little bit, which is okay. I've done the house by myself before, but I suckered my dad into coming to help. And suckered is probably not the great word. He offered. But so I definitely have people who always are willing to come help, or they offer to. And this year with the chamber party being
early,
we're kicking it into gear sooner than I anticipated, but it's all going to come together, and that's my favorite part.
Absolutely. So I know that everything in the house is time-specific or date-specific to the age of the home. And what is the year of the house again?
So the house was built in 1862 and completed in 1865. There were some finishing touches until 66, but it was right during the Civil War. So that's sort of the time period of when it started, and then it goes straight through. The family lived there almost full-time until about 1920, and then used it as a summer home for the next 20 years before they sold it to Carol Simmons.
Isn't that amazing to think that the Leduc family had it that long?
Yeah, it's kind of incredible to see that they built the house, and then they lived there for about 80 years. You know, is an extraordinary length of time in just one family that lived there. That always blows my mind, especially because you have, like, Alice, for example, who was the only one of their four children born in the house, and then she was there from the time she was born until they sold it. So, you know, like, that large chunk of her life is only this one house. They did live in a house in Washington, and so there was that period of time where she wasn't living there, but the family still owned the home. So that kind of boggles my mind, too,
to think about. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, there was no electricity back in the day.
Correct.
So what kind of decorations do you think the Leducs used at Christmas?
Yeah, so they didn't electrify the house until 1915. So prior to that, as far as like Christmas decorations, it would have been a lot of candles, some kerosene lamps and things like that. But something that was really popular was to put on those clamp-on candles that have the little trays underneath, and you would use those to light your tree. Now, a lot of people think about the fire hazard of that, which was definitely a large impending issue. But most of the time you bought your tree or you went and cut down your tree the day before Christmas, so on Christmas Eve, and then you set it up, you decorated it, etc. So it was still pretty damp and wet and not necessarily going to burst into flames. But if you had a lot of money, a lot of the wealthy class had one servant who was specifically tasked with watching the tree, and they either had a bucket of water or a bucket of sand to put out the fire, the candle. Yeah, at night, you would blow out the candles, of course, too.
Sure.
But like, if you had a holiday party, you had one servant who was just responsible for making sure the tree didn't go up in flames.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it really is. So the LeDucs would have had candles for the tree. They didn't necessarily have the money for the servants, so they probably only lit the candles when they
Alice
were
had
able
to
watch it.
The
right?
Tree.
They're like, all right, the baby's in charge. Yes. And then lots of natural decorations. So
popcorn.
Pine swags and popcorn and cranberries and different holly berries and things that you could find outside were typically the biggest decorations that you put out throughout your house. So your house would smell nice, and then you would use these things that you could find outside that were really holiday exemplary. And then you started bringing in different ornaments. So it was crocheted ornaments or straw ornaments, little toys that you would deck out the trees on, mittens and things, cookie cutouts, all things that were made to decorate the tree. And we do have some ornaments like that that go on our trees too.
So do you have any ornaments that go back to when the LeDucs lived at the house?
I don't think that we have any that are quite that old, but we have a lot that look like they're from that time period or would have been similar to ones that they would have utilized.
And is that part of your research then that you found these lookalikes?
So we already had the ornaments when I started, so I'm sure it was part of somebody's research at some point. But when I do our holiday presentation for our teas, or if somebody requests a holiday presentation, that's some of the things that I discuss. So I have researched them to find out like what kinds of ornaments were more prominent and when gift giving came into fashion.
When did gift giving come into fashion?
It was right during the Victorian time period. You were giving gifts before, but it became more popular to give, especially your children, gifts after seeing Queen Victoria and Prince Albert and the way that they interacted with their children.
What?
Yeah, and actually it was Queen Victoria and Prince Albert that really popularized the use of the Christmas tree for the Victorians. It was already something that was happening, especially in Germany, but because Prince Albert was German, he brought the practice to England, and then people saw that Queen Victoria had this Christmas tree in her house, and so it spread like wildfire because most people wanted to have the similarity with the royal family and to do the things that they were doing and the way that they interacted with their children too. Also, I could go on about this forever, but also created a different dichotomy with how the classes from upper class to lower class interacted with their children as far as coddling them more or not letting the baby just cry it out or things like that. So it's this demonstration of affection that changes too, and it's all linked to these different social aspects of watching the royal family and also people realizing like, oh, it is okay to give your kids gifts at Christmas time and to hug them when they're crying. And it's kind of fascinating what you can learn from history.
So what years would this have been?
So that would have been from about the 1840s all the way through the 1910s, at least something in that range.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I know.
So do you think that the LeDucs had a tree right away when they opened their house or when they first moved into their house, or was that something that maybe would have caught on with them more towards the turn of the century?
I think they would have had a tree pretty close to when they moved in. We do have different records of them discussing what gifts they were giving for the holidays, how they were decorating and celebrating, the toys that were brought back when they went out east to visit Washington, D.C., but then also to Ohio to visit Mary's family, and the different gifts that were being given to the kids. So we do have these records of these holiday celebrations. So I think they likely would have had a tree right away.
What were some of the gifts back in the day?
Tin soldiers. That was something that was big. Ribbons were really popular to give as gifts. And
for girls' hair?
For girls' hair, and you can decorate your dresses with them. And okay. I remember reading, it's funny, I just was talking to my dad about this today too, reading books when I was little, and thinking it was kind of interesting that these little girls were getting so excited about these ribbons until I realized as I got older that that was a hot commodity to get these ribbons to decorate your dresses or to tie in your hair. It was a big deal because it was something that you used quite often. So if your ribbon started getting raggedy, you wanted a new one, or if you needed something to make your dress look just a little bit better than the girls down the street, right? You get this ribbon from town, and it was something that was really popular. So ribbons were big, small, wooden toys that were carved or whittled, candies, that was something that you got a lot as a present, candied fruits and just fruit in general, because it was hard to ship fruit until refrigeration. And so if you got fruit, your family had the money to bring it in. Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that fascinating? Mm-hmm. Did you love history as much as you do now when you were growing up?
I did. History and social studies were always my favorite classes.
This is a great job for you then, Mariah.
It really is. I got really lucky. I loved mythology. That's where it really started for me. I thought mythology was fascinating. And then to learn about the cultures where these myths were taking place, and then to start realizing that this was something that took place centuries ago, and how it sort of is cyclical and goes through time. And my favorite thing about history is not even necessarily the dates or the events or things like that, but seeing how the human experience is relatively the same regardless of technology from the beginning of time to now.
Tell
it's
me
all
what
about
that
relationships.
Means. Yes.
So it's how they interact with their world and people being in it, but it's always this striving for happiness, really, in a big way, but also just surviving. It's all about surviving, and it depends on the time period and how that comes into play, but interacting with each other and how these relationships work and correlate, and then you always have to like the perpetuation of humankind. So there's the relationship building, there's generating new generations, and so on and so forth, and that is something that's constant throughout time. Even if you have stone houses, and then you have wood houses, and then you have brick, and then you have, you know, steel. So it's a change in the technology, but not necessarily in humanity. And mm-hmm. That's what I think is fascinating.
I do too. And I love hearing stories about what holidays were like for different time periods, mm-hmm. different ethnicities.
Yeah.
So the Leducs, were they English or no, they were French. What were they?
So William has French heritage, yes. And then Mary has some Pennsylvania Dutch, okay. And a little bit of German. Her maiden name was Bronson, and there is some English tied in there too. And then, of course, with a name like Leduc, you have to be at least a little French, right? So there's that tie-in too. So there was a lot of European descent in the family.
And so those traditions were brought to the holidays too, I would assume.
Right. Yep. So different things along the lines of Christmas trees or gift giving, how you would decorate or celebrate, Christmas cards, etc. All things that were tied into their family and letters and time together.
So the Leduc Historic Estate is available for people to come, I know, during the holidays, and you have a tea that you wanted to tell people about.
Yeah, we have our Victorian holiday teas that we do every year. This year, we had planned to have two, but we are canceling the first one, but the second one is still available. So December 11th still has slots available for people to register for, and if you come to that tea, you get the standard tea, so three courses and three teas per course, and then you get a tour of the house, but you get to see it all decorated for the holidays.
Lovely.
Too. Yes. So that's really fun. And then the program that goes along with the tea is about Victorian holiday traditions. And we talk about what they used to decorate, how they celebrated, holiday cards, which I think are hilarious because they had things like dead birds on theirs, frogs that were mugging each other. And what's so funny is you send this card with a dead bird on it. It says happy holidays, and it's supposed to wish you luck for your next year. But we would look at it now and be like, why did you send me a dead sparrow? You know, so it's interesting things like that. And so we discuss that on the program too for the tea.
And so we have an opportunity to get tickets. Do we get them online? Do we call you? How does it work?
You can do either. So if you want to call the site at 651-438-8480, you can talk to me to register for the tea. Otherwise, our registration is set up online at dakotahistory.org, and you can go to our event page and register there. You can also find it by going to the LaDuke page and finding the events. So you can register online and get signed up, but we do have limited spots left, so you'll want to register quickly before we have to close it.
Mariah, tell us about renting your space out. Is it something that you do by half a day, by the hour? And then what if we wanted to serve food? How does that work?
Yeah, so you can rent the space by contacting me again. You can call the number I just listed or send me an email. My email is listed on the website. And we do it by a two-hour base rate. So you rent the site for 2 hours for a flat rate, and then you can add additional hours for another rate. You can bring in your own food. You can do it potluck style if you want to, or you can bring in a caterer. We do have a catering kitchen that can be used, whether you're doing it potluck style or you're having somebody cater it for you. They just have to be a licensed caterer and be able to show me that licensure. And then you can have your family holiday party if you want. You could do work parties. We've had that in the past. We've had birthday parties and bridal showers and all sorts of things. But if you want to rent it for the holidays, you're going to want to let me know now, because I've got a few things on the calendar already, and you might want to be squished in there.
I love it. Oh, Mariah, it's so fun. Yeah. So you are looking actually into next year for some exciting things. Give us a sneak peek of some of them.
So we're going to bring back our Coffee with the General series, which should be really fun and exciting. That was a Saturday morning presentation series that we were putting on, where we had presentations and then refreshments available too. And we're working on who's going to be presenting and what topics. So I can't give you a teaser yet, but I'll have to come back and talk about it.
So exciting.
Yes.
Things feel like they're returning a little bit more to normal for you.
They are, which is so nice. So we'll be doing our other teas again next year too. So Mother's Day, Valentine's Day. These are our first teas that we're able to do that are our normally scheduled ones, these holiday teas. So we're really excited to be able to do that. And then we will be opening, if everything stays the way it is, we'll be opening for our regular tour season on time again next year. We were able to do that this year, which was really exciting. And just hopefully getting more presentations in and more of what we used to do or what we were doing back on the docket. So we're really excited, though, about this Coffee with the General. So we're hoping people register.
I love it. Mariah, so good to see you.
You as well.
Mariah Ring, she is the site supervisor for the LaDuke Historic Estate. And do visit them if you can. Go online. There's all sorts of good information. And the tea, again, don't forget, December 11th, still openings. Give Mariah a call at 651-438-8480, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.